Hey, if you guys have a Bible, we're going to turn to Joshua chapter 19. Joshua chapter 19. And we are in this series that we're titled 5G. And so I'm going to close it out tonight. We're going to step into a new series next week that I'm super pumped and super excited for. And so Joshua chapter 19, we're going to look at verses 40 through 48. It says, "The seventh allotment of land went to the clans of the tribe of Dan. The land allotted as their homeland included the following towns." Those words right there. You guys can read it right there. See? Okay. I'm not even going to attempt it. I'm not even going to try it. Like, I mean, that's just basically gibberish to me. All right. And so it says, "And the territory across from Joppa." Down at 47, it says, "But the tribe of Dan had trouble taking possession of their land, so they attacked the town of Laish. They captured it, slaughtered its people, and settled there. They renamed the town Dan after their ancestor. The homeland allotted to the clans of the tribe of Dan included these towns and their surrounding villages." And so tonight, I don't really have a title for this message. As I was thinking about it, I really couldn't come up with something creative. So I don't have a title for my message, but I do want to talk about this idea of hearing from God, right? And so we're in this series 5G that we're talking about this idea of how we can learn to hear the voice of God. And so in this story, we've got the tribe of Dan. They have been given an allotment. They've been given a word from the Lord that says, "Hey, this is your territory right here." So there are 12 tribes of Israel, and in those 12 tribes, each one of those tribes was given a specific law and a specific land in Israel. So they said, "Hey, this is your territory right here." And so we can see in this is that they had trouble taking possession of the land. And so what they did was they said, "Hey, we're going to forget this piece of land and we're going to go find a land that is going to be a little bit easier to take." How many guys don't like hard things? How many guys would rat, if you don't like hard things, like you want things that are easy, you want things that are simple, like how many of y'all, like math is terrible because it's hard, right? I don't like math. It's terrible. It's hard, all right? I'd rather skip away from math, all right? How many of y'all know that English is hard, okay? English is hard. I don't want to even attempt to do English, okay? How many know that science is hard? I don't even want to attempt it anymore. Like, I graduated 16 years ago from high school. That is older than pretty much all of you in this room right now. I graduated from high school 16 years ago, and so I don't want to attempt to do science anymore, right? But I'll attempt sports because sports are easy, okay? Sports are easy. PE is easy. Lunch is easy. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? Come on, somebody, okay? Come on now. And so, you know, we don't like to do difficult things. Like, we want to do things that are easy. And so the Lord had given them this direction. But what I want to say tonight is the thing that God has directed you to, it may be challenging and it may be difficult, but the thing that God has challenged you to and directed you to was from Him. And so it says in verse 47, it says, "But the tribe of Dan had trouble taking possession of their land." And so they had a difficult time taking possession of their land. And so they said, "You know what? Obviously, we didn't hear from the Lord. Like, we didn't hear from God. And so what we're going to do is instead of going the difficult and the challenging route, we're going to take the easy way and we're going to go take the town and the land of Laish because it's way too hard to do anything else." And so I think that so too many times that when we hear from the Lord, we have this false idea that the thing that God has directed us to, the job, the career, the serving opportunity, the volunteer opportunity, the opportunity that God has given to us. I think so many times we think we hear from God and we have this false idea that thing that God has directed us to is going to be easy. We sit there and we think, oh, this, okay, God has given me this word. Okay, I'm about to enter into this new thing. I'm about to enter into this new opportunity, and it's going to be easy. It's going to be a piece of cake. And when it's not easy, because no thing in life is easy, right? There's nothing that is worthy in life that is ever going to be easy. Like, I mean, let's just be honest. Your education, it's not fun and it's not easy, but it is worthwhile. I know some of y'all are like, no, it's not. What am I ever going to use, you know, algebraic equations when I get into the real world? You know what? You're right, okay? You are absolutely right. But your education is important so that way you can grow up, you can learn what you want to grab a hold of and what career you want to be a part of, so that way you can continue down that path and that direction. But you need an education first, right? If you don't have an education, like, you're out of luck. But even though it may not seem worthwhile, it is worthwhile, and it's not always going to be easy. Sharing the gospel isn't always going to be easy, but let me tell you, it is the most important thing and is the most worthwhile thing that we have in this life on earth. And so it may be challenging and it may be difficult to go up to somebody and tell them about Jesus and to tell them about your relationship with Jesus and to share your testimony with them, but it is the most worthwhile and it is the most amazing thing that you can do in your life. And so when things are not easy the way that we want them to be easy, we start to doubt and we start to question, did I really hear from God? We start to doubt and we start to even question God. We start to doubt that we heard the voice of God and we can start to lose faith. You know, did I hear the voice of God? And let me just say this, is that just because the thing that you're doing and the thing and the opportunity that you have may be difficult does not mean that you didn't hear from the voice of God correctly. Like, I can remember being given new opportunities and given a new career path, and even coming into this season, into this job as the youth pastor here at the Rock Church, I can remember thinking, "All right, God, this is obviously from you." Like, I had this vision that this entire room was going to be filled with students. Look around, we ain't there yet, right? And I remember having this vision that, you know what, this room is going to be filled with high school and middle school students that are going to love God, that are going to commit their life to serve Him, that they're going to not go down the things of the world and not, you know, be attracted to the things of the world, but they're going to be passionate for the things of God. And I had this thought that it is going to be easy. But let me tell you this, is that now that I'm in the hard stuff, that we're in the hard stuff, I can sit there and say, you know what, I know I heard from God clearly, and that just because it's hard and it's challenging does not mean that I did not hear from God in that moment. I truly believe that at one day this room from the wall to the wall is going to be filled, from the front to the back is going to be filled with students who are on fire for God, who are passionate about the things of God, that are not about the things of the world, but they are passionate about the things of the Lord. And so because I know I heard from God, but it doesn't mean that life is not, and it doesn't mean that it's not going to make it any easier, because there are going to be hard things that happen in life. And so when we think, you know, when we hear from God and we go through these difficult and these challenging moments, a lot of times what we like to do as human beings, as fallen people, is that we start to take matters into our own hands. When things don't go our way, we start to take matters into our own hands. Have y'all ever experienced that? I mean, how many of you guys would say that you're a control freak? Like, you like control. Like, you don't like things to not be a certain way. Like, you want them to be the way that you want them to be. And so it goes on to say in chapter 19, verse 47, it says, "So they attacked the town of Laish. They captured it, slaughtered its people, and settled there. They renamed the town Dan after their ancestors." And so in this story, we realize and we see that they were having a difficult time taking possession of the land that God had called them to. And so instead of trusting God and putting their faith in God, what they said was, hey, you know what? I'm going to take control of this thing because I don't trust God to give us the land that he's promised us. And so a lot of times what happens is that when things don't go the way that we want them to, the things don't happen the way that we thought they were going to happen, is that a lot of times we start to take control and we start to take matters into our own hands. And what happens is that we start to try to control every aspect of our life. We start to control our relationships. We start to control our friendships. We start to control, you know, we start to control other people because we don't want to feel out of control. And so what happens is that we start to play God. But let me just say this, is that when you start to play God and you take the throne over the one true God, what happens is that your life is not going to look good. Your life is not going to look blessed. Your life is going to feel disastrous. It's going to feel disorganized. It's going to feel chaotic. It's because you are taking the place of the one true God who deserves our praise and who deserves our worship. And so when you start to take control, what happens is that you start to manipulate, you start to force things that God did not design you to have. God did not design you to be a part of. And so what happens is that you start to get involved in things. You start to get involved in drugs. You start to get involved in relationships that God did not call you to. You start to get involved in friendships that God does not plan for you to be involved in. And so what happens is that it starts to take you down a direction that God did not plan for you to be in. And so what we have to realize is this, is that we have to remain faithful. When things don't go the way that we thought, when we feel like we didn't hear from God clearly, what we have to do is we have to remain faithful. We've got to remain faithful. Like there, if we don't remain faithful, it is too easy to quit during challenging moments. It is too easy to quit during challenging times. Like, I mean, as this generation of students, there are more suicides today than there were 5-10 years ago because life gets challenging. And when life gets challenging, instead of, taking the challenge head on, too many times we want to back away and we want to get out and we want to take the easy route, and people end up losing their life because they try to manipulate and they try to force it and control it, and it creates anxiety and it creates depression and it creates chaos. And what happens is that you can't control it, and so you take the easy way out, and that means that you lose your life. And so we have to remain faithful. I love what it says in James chapter 2. It says, works without faith is dead. See, we need faith, but we also have to put in the work too. We need faith. We need to trust that God, that we had heard from God clearly. We need to trust that God has us in the palm of his hands. We need to trust that God is guiding us and leading us and opening doors and opening opportunities and giving us new land to take. But we have to trust God, but we have to do our part. Instead of controlling everything and forcing everything, we have to submit it all to God, trust him, and do the things that we can do. And so we have to remain faithful, but put in the work. Faith and works have to work together. It's not one or the other. It's not, you just have to have faith. Because if you just have faith, like, then I think we could all say, all right, cool, I have faith. And then life would be easy from there, right? But that's not, unfortunately, the case. We have to have faith and we have to have works. We have to have them both intertwined and meeting together. Because when we have our faith and our works together, God can move in incredible ways. And so after we take matters into our own hands, what we do is that we either stop asking God for direction, we stop asking God for guidance in our life, or we ask God for the blessing after or in the middle of the decision that we've already made. It says in Judges chapter 18, which Judges chapter 18 is just the elongated, it's just the more detailed version of what Joshua chapter 19 is. And so it says in Judges chapter 18, verses 1 through 6, it says that there were the tribe of Dan they chose five capable warriors. And so they got these five capable warriors to scout out the land that they were going to try to take for themselves. And so it says that when these warriors arrived in the hill country of Ephraim, they came to Micah's house and spent the night there. While at Micah's house, they recognized the young Levite's accent. So they went over and asked him, "Who brought you here? And what are you doing in this place? Why are you here?" He told them about his agreement with Micah. And at that, he had been hired as Micah's personal priest. They said, "Ask God whether or not our journey will be successful." "Go in peace," the priest replied, "for the Lord is watching over your journey." And so this is just the longer version of what Joshua chapter 19 is. And so it says that they didn't first seek God. They didn't say, "All right, God, is this the direction that you want us to go?" But what they did was they started the process before they heard from God clearly. They said, "Hey, you know what? We're going to go through. We're going to go forward." And then in the middle of what we're already doing, and then in the middle of what we're already, you know, moving forward on, that's when we're going to ask God to bless the thing that we've already committed to. We're going to wait. We're going to send the warriors out to scout the land. But in the middle of us scouting and in the middle of us already making that decision, that's where we're going to ask God, "God, is this going to be successful? God, make this a blessing. God, bring the blessing into my life." So I think, you know, I see this so many times when it comes to relationships. A lot of times is that we like to do our own thing, right? How many guys like to do your own thing? If somebody's like, "Hey, we're gonna do this thing," and you're just like, "No, I don't want to do that thing. Like, I am the most selfish person ever." Okay, like Heather's like, "We're gonna do this," and I'm like, "I don't really want to do that, but okay, whatever." Like, we want to do our own thing, right? Like, we want to do our own thing. And so I see this a lot of times in relationships, is that, you know, I've seen boys and I've seen girls get into relationships, and they're like, "Well, I'm going to go into this relationship." And I'm like, "Cool. Well, have you talked to God about it?" No, I haven't. And I'm like, "Okay. Well, I mean, don't you think you should probably ask God if this is the right person, if this is the right move for you?" Well, okay. And instead of going to God first, what they do is that they ask God for the blessing in the middle of it. I've already, and this, the thought is like, I'm committing my life to this person. I'm saying yes to this person for this season right now. And they sit there and say, "All right, God, will you bless this relationship? God, would you bless this thing? God, would you bless this opportunity?" Instead of asking God first, "God, is this the direction that you want me to go? God, is this the relationship? Is this the friendship that you want me to be involved in?" But see, too many times we are swayed by our emotions and by our feelings, right? Like, I mean, if we have this idea set in our mind and set in our heart that this is the thing that we want to do, like, it doesn't matter what somebody might say to us. It doesn't matter what red flags there might be. It doesn't matter what roadblock there might be. We're like, "This is the thing that I'm doing. I don't care what anybody says. I'm forgetting wisdom. I'm forgetting discernment. I'm going to do this thing because I want to do it." And because we are guided by our feelings and by our emotions a lot of times. It says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, it says that the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. We are guided by our feelings. Our heart is the thing that guides us. It leads us. And so what we have to be careful of is to not allow our feelings and not allow our emotions and not allow our desires to lead us, but we need to lead those feelings. And so instead of asking God in the middle of what we've already decided, we have to ask God before we make those decisions. I mean, again, I've seen it too many times with relationships. I've seen it too many times where they get into a relationship and they're like, all right, yeah, all right, we want to honor God. Well, God, would you bless this now, when they're already getting involved in things that is not of God and it's not from God. And so there is a blessing in a different location. You know, I truly believe. And so in this story, the tribe of Dan, like they had already been given the blessing of those crazy words of places, right? The blessing was over here, but they decided, you know what? We're going to do our own thing and we're going to ask God to bless it later. And we're going to move and try to create the blessing over here. And that's a lot of times what we do, is that we try to force the blessing over here when the blessing is truly over here. We say, you know what? I know that God has blessed this opportunity. God has blessed this thing, but my feelings and my emotions and my desires want this thing to be blessed. And so instead of going underneath the covering and the blessing of God, is that we try to force the hand of God. Again, we try to play God and we try to force the blessing to this side. See, our pastor, Pastor Kirk, says it this way. Go where the blessing of God is. Don't move from underneath the blessing of God and ask Him to bless where you're at. He always says, stay under the blessing of God. When it moves, that's where you move. But He doesn't say, when the blessing of God is there, don't move from underneath it. Like, stay under the blessing of God. Too many times we try to do our own thing and ask God, will you bless this thing? Would you bless this relationship? Would you bless this the friendship? God, would you bless this job opportunity? Would you bless it? Instead of being under and being where the blessing of God is already at. And so we have to seek God before we make a move. We've got to seek wisdom. We got to seek discernment. We got to seek direction before we ever make a move that would not be of God. And then it goes on in verses 27 through 29. It says this: then with Micah's idols and his priests, the men of Dan came to the town of Laish, whose people were peaceful and secure. They attacked with swords and burned the town to the ground. There was no one to rescue the people, for they lived in a great distance from Sidon and had no allies nearby. This happened near in the valley near Beth Rehob. Then the people of the tribe of Dan rebuilt the town and lived there. They renamed the town Dan after their ancestor Israel's son, but it had originally been called Laish. I'm going to have our worship team come out real quick as we close out. And so in this end of the story, it says that the tribe of Dan, they took the town of Laish. They conquered the town. And so as we read that, we can think, well, obviously, the blessing. Obviously, they succeeded, so the blessing had to have been there. And so the tribe of Dan, they seemingly experienced success because they attacked the land and the town of Laish, and they defeated everybody, they killed everybody, and they rebuilt and renamed the town. And so we would say that hey, they were successful. But just because blessing, just because God's bless, don't assume God's blessing. Let me say that. Don't assume success means God's blessing. Listen, you may have a lot of money, but still live your life away from God. That doesn't mean that you're blessed, and that doesn't mean that you're honoring God. I mean, you could have some of the most amazing and some of the nicest things, but just because you have those things doesn't mean that you're full of success. Don't assume success equals God's blessing. Because the blessing that God had for the tribe of Dan was not over in Laish, but the tribe of Dan, See, God had said, hey, I need you to go to those towns, and your job is to conquer. Your job is to defeat. Your job is to remove every idol, remove everything that is going to be not of me, every wicked thing. Destroy every idol. Destroy every wicked thing that is in the allotted land that I've given you. And so what the tribe of Dan did was they didn't listen. And what happened is that they kept all the false idols. They kept all the wickedness. That the thing that God had for them, the thing that God spoke into their life, was not to continue to keep on with the idolatry and the wickedness, but to purify themselves. See, when we don't listen to God and respond in the correct way, what happens is that we start to create these harmless habits that destroy our future. We start to create these harmless habits that start to destroy our purpose, that start to destroy our calling that God has placed in our life. I mean, harmless habits are the things that we ignore the voice of God about. We sit there, we hear God say, hey, this relationship that you're in, you need to end it. But a lot of times we start to ignore the voice of God. God says, hey, don't go to that party. Don't hang out with that person. But we start to ignore the voice of God. And what happens is that those moments start to become harmless. They may seem harmless in the moment, but in the long term, they destroy our future. They destroy our calling. They destroy the purpose that God has placed in our life. And so as we close out, I'm reminded of a story in Samuel chapter 15. In Samuel chapter 15, King Saul was given direction by God to go and to destroy every Amalekite. God said, go destroy every single person, every single animal, every single thing. There should be nothing left. And so King Saul, what he did was he destroyed all the things that were not as pretty. He kept the things that were the best. He kept the best sheep. He kept the best lamb. He kept the best goat. He kept the best cattle. He kept the best fattened calves. And he spared the life of King Ahab. And so as Saul had this, what seemingly was a harmless habit, was the thing that destroyed the purpose, was the thing that destroyed the future that God had for him. It was the thing that destroyed the calling that God had placed on his life. And so when we ignore the voice of God, what happens is that we lose the purpose that God has for us. We destroy the future that God has for us. And so, listen, I want to encourage you guys. You are all priests. You are all kings. Not the king, but you are all kings and sons and daughters of the Most High God. And he loves you and he is for you. But when you ignore the voice of God, you destroy that relationship with him. You destroy that friendship with him. You destroy that connection that you have with the one God who loves you and who is for you. And so I just want to encourage you guys today to follow through with what God has directed you to. Listen, you got to hear the voice of God. Listen, these past few weeks we've talked about how to hear the voice of God. You know, ways that we ignore the voice of God, ways that we block the voice of God. But listen, when you hear the voice of God, you've got to follow the directions. You got to follow. You got to obey his promptings. And see, God loves you. God is absolutely for you. And you may try to ignore the voice, and you may try to ignore God, but He is so madly and deeply in love with you that no matter what you do, no matter how much you shut the door on His face, no matter how much you ignore Him, He is going to pursue you. He's going to go after you. He's going to try to get your attention any way that He can. But I want to encourage you guys tonight to open your arms, open your eyes, open your ears, and open your heart to hear the voice of God. He loves you. He gave His life on a cross for you, and He is not going to stop pursuing after you. He's not going to stop loving you and being there for you. That no matter how many times you shut the door, He's going to come after you again and again and again. God, we just thank You that You love us all so much. That there are moments that we ignore Your voice. There are moments that we forget and we just choose not to ask and not to pursue after You. God, I just pray that, God, our hearts would be open. That, God, our spirit would be open to hearing the voice of God and to pursuing and seeking You before we ever make decisions. Before we ever move forward in certain aspects of our life. God, we just praise You. I just pray that any person here that is hearing the voice of God, that they would respond and they would obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit. We thank You, Jesus, for all that You are. Speak to us tonight. Speak to us one more time. Speak to us in our bed. Speak to us in our school. Speak to us on the bus. Speak to us when we're at dinner. Speak to us in the morning. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Speak to us, God, and reveal Yourself to us in a mighty, mighty way. Thank You, Jesus. God, You never fail. God, even when we fail ourselves, God, when we ignore the voice, God, You never fail us. You pursue after us. You chase after us because You love us so very much. And even when we feel weak, even when we feel discouraged, even when we feel like we're not enough, God, we thank You that You are enough for us. And so, God, we just declare, Father God, faith. God, we pray for faith to increase in this student body. God, I pray for faith to increase in me and in our leaders, that, God, we can feel like we are failing, but, God, we know that we are right where You want us. And so, God, we move when the blessing moves. God, we move where the hand of God is at. And so, God, we just declare that the blessing, God, that we would, our hearts would be open. God, our eyes would be open to see where You're directing us, to see where You're taking us, to see where You're going. God, we just thank You that our flesh is weak, but our spirit is full of hope. God, our spirit is full of faith. God, we want to see You move in a mighty way. God, we need a move of God to happen in this ministry. God, we need a move of God to happen in this city. God, we need to see a move of God happen in schools all across this region and all across this nation. And so, God, we're crying out. God, we're pleading with You. God, would You move in us? God, would You move through us? God, would You move in this generation? God, we're crying out. God, we're pleading with You right now that, God, this generation would not follow the generations before them, but, God, they would make a new path, and that path would be aimed and would be directed directly towards You. God, I pray that these students, that they would not follow the things of the world, that, God, they would not follow the things of the culture, but, God, they would follow the things of God. They would pursue after the things of God, that they would not be okay with surface level, but, God, they would dive deeper into Your word. God, they dive deeper into a relationship with You. And so, God, I declare, God, we're crying out for the move of God to happen in this generation. God, we declare it and we believe it. God, our flesh may be weak. Our eyes may be weak. What we see in front of us may be discouraging. But, God, we are full of faith that You are going to move in a mighty, mighty way. And if you can agree with that and if you declare that, let me hear you shout, amen.